Welcome to We Talk Raw Radio, where your voice is always heard on our Beats Radio and media streaming service for today's hot and trending topics. Now let's get into it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Talk Raw. I'm here today with a very special guest, Mr. Tim Freer, who is the managing partner of the Cajun Queen here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Tim. How are you?
Thank you, Jennifer, and thanks for having me.
Yes, no problem. So let's talk about the service industry, the restaurant that you own, and your life that surrounds it.
Sounds good to me.
What is the Cajun Queen?
The Cajun Queen is a 39-year-old restaurant, which is kind of an anomaly in Charlotte.
1985, right?
1985, yes. Almost 29. It'll be 29 in September. I mean, 39 in September. But we specialize in New Orleans cuisine, and we have live Dixieland jazz every night. Kind of makes it special.
Yes. And how long have you been working / a partner at the Cajun Queen?
I've only been there for 30 of those years.
Only 30 years.
I don't know how they did it for the first nine without me, maybe just by the skin of their teeth. But
so 1994.
Two. Okay. Well, yeah, I took it
the
two
90s.
Years.
Yeah. In the 90s. And so I moved to Charlotte in 2000, and the Cajun Queen was, I think, my second job. And I met so many friends, and I still keep in touch with everybody, and everybody's like family, including you. So that's why you're here today, is we're going to talk about the restaurant, but mostly your personal journey around how you're surviving in this industry as a husband, a father, and a sober person. What do you want to start with?
let's start with the restaurant industry. Impossible. It's just impossible.
It's a grind, man. How are your joints and your bones?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I shouldn't be bussing tables at 54 years old, but...
Do you get regular massages or acupuncture?
No.
Self-care, Tim. Self-care.
Golf is my only self-care. Golf. Once a week.
Okay.
Once a week. No, it is difficult. It is difficult for all the reasons that we hear. You know, every new restaurant that comes to town, everybody's got to try. And then they, you know, have to come back to the Cajun Queen and, oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that place. Yeah, people always say that. Yeah.
I haven't been there in 20 years. How do you expect me to stay in business? You come once every 20 years. I mean, it doesn't work that way. But then, you know, we go through COVID and we go through the price gouging of all the consumer products, especially food. And then we go through not having enough servers. And then we go through having too many servers. And it's hard.
And not to mention, how old is the house that the Cajun Queen resides in?
So if you are to have a restaurant, I don't suggest you do it in a 100-year-old house, because my electrician, my plumber, and my air conditioning guy are all on speed dial. It's ridiculous.
So if anybody's not been to the Cajun Queen, it has delicious New Orleans food, which I love so much. And I didn't eat meat before I started working at the Cajun Queen. But when the cooks would give us like the sauces, like, here's an extra sauce you can dip your bread in. I'm like, is there chicken stock in here? And everybody's like, yes. I'm like, I don't care. This is so good. I have to dip my bread in the barbecue shrimp.
Yes, that is a law.
Yeah. So I definitely started eating meat after working at the Cajun Queen.
Yeah. The barbecue shrimp, the crawfish scampi, Cajun fried oysters, literally the same menu as when I waited tables there.
Wild.
In 1992.
Wild. Some things have changed. Like the pork,
yeah, we've
the pork
few,
loin
we've
has changed.
A few things. There's some new menu items that have only been around for like 10 years.
The fried green tomatoes. Those are new.
Yep.
Yes.
But you know, we used to have a specials list that went out on the table every night. And it was the same.
I can memorize that. I can tell you
it
right now.
It was the same specials every night. So we changed the name, and now it is the specialty items. So
okay.
They're no longer
mahi
special.
Mahi, tilapia, grouper with the crab. Yep. Yeah. Crab or crawfish topping.
And the pork mm-hmm. chop. And
pork
the duck.
Chop.
The duck is
the
on that. The pasta. Number one seller, believe it or not.
Can we cut? I'm hungry. Let's go. Although, you don't open till what? 4 p.m. or 5?
5 o'clock during
5
the week.
PM. Yeah. And what's really cool, too, I love how the bar is in like the master bedroom.
Yeah. So, yeah. The way the house was set up, the bar is in the master bedroom, which is...
And there's a fireplace in the master
bedroom.
There's
a fireplace in three different rooms, actually.
And you'd think for me working there for 12 years, I would have lost weight. But I think, in fact, I probably gained it, because the stairway, you have to walk up the stairs for the bar and half the restaurant. But the food is just so good that we just sit back there and eat.
Yeah. I also have gained a few pounds in the 30 years. I say I only gained 2 pounds a year for 30 years, but that's 60 pounds.
Right. So. And for anybody out there watching, you don't have to get things spicy, right? So
no.
You can get the fish, not blackened. The Creole, which is not my favorite item, is very mild. Sorry. It's not your favorite item.
It
either.
Is not.
No.
I mean, we can spice it up, but no.
Yes,
it's for people that are afraid, and that's fine. I mean, some people don't want any spice. You got to have something for them.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And there's chicken.
There's chicken.
And seafood, all sorts of stuff.
All
we're
sorts
gonna, we're
of
gonna
seafood.
We're going to get into that, yes. Okay, so you started working there when you were in your 20s?
Early 20s, yeah.
Then you got
Early
married, 20s. Then you had kids. So let's talk about how you juggle being a daddy.
So when I started, my wife was also in the business. She was the general manager of
oh my God.
Kenilworth Midtown.
Yes.
So we had the same schedule-ish. Actually, she got off a lot later than I did because that was a bar that went to 2 o'clock in the morning. So
I remember that. So by Target would, now, right? That area?
Yeah, it's not even there anymore.
Yeah.
It's a totally. But she would come in at 4 o'clock in the morning and I would get home at like 12 o'clock.
Grind.
But when we had a child, she decided that that was not a lifestyle that she could manage any longer. So she started doing, you know, part-time work here or there, whether it be Starbucks or Harris Teeter or something, just to be home with the kids, because she could work during the day. I worked at night, and we never had to use daycare.
And being a service industry kid myself, I think it's really hard when you're in the industry. Let's just talk about it, to get out, right? It can be really comfortable. The money's really good, but I was definitely miserable, not at the Cajun Queen, but towards the end of my bartending career, I was just like, this is a grind, but it's hard to find that step to get out of it. You know what I mean? To have that backup plan.
So it is hard. Like for me, when the kids were growing up, I got to have the kids all day long while she was at work and she got them at night. But I missed so many, once they started school, I missed so many of the homeworks and so many of the bedtime stories and so many of those evenings. But I will say that my life in particular, both of my kids came to work for me at a very young age, and I got all of those times back in spades.
Aww.
Like them working with me, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, it was really special for me to see them in a certain way with their peers and how they work and them to see me in a certain way. Not everybody gets to go to work with their dad and see, you know, what he does and what he's managing 300 crazy customers and 30 crazy employees at the
but
same time.
But you still manage to have that family effect. I always tell people, I'm like, I could take my shirt off and walk in the kitchen at the Cajun Queen and be like, hi guys. And they'd be like, what's up, Busco? Like, I'm very comfortable there. Like, it has a very big family effect. And like I said, I still keep in touch with so many of the people that I worked with 24 years ago.
Yep.
That is insane. Brian Dowling, I love you. Bryant, I love you. Right? I still keep in touch with these people. It's their family.
Pender and Stefan in the other night.
Yep.
It's just always been a place where people can come back to. It's always, because it's always been there for starters, plus it's meant so much to so many people. It's always been a place. And everybody does come back, and it's one of the greatest parts about my job. I mean, I love 50% of my job. And that's that's the 50% when we're open and people are in there and I get to go around and have a dinner party every night. I mean, it's...
And schmooze.
And
yeah.
Well, you say schmooze. It's not really a job. It's just genuinely, I want to hear what these people are doing. People that haven't worked there have been coming there for 30 years too. And I see their kids. And then 30 years later, I see them bring their kids. It is just
insane.
A family, you know.
And Oliver loves it. My kid loves coming. He's like, you worked here 25 years ago, mommy? I'm like, yep, I did.
Yeah, so did I.
Traipsing around. Yep. So.
But yeah, it is tough to get out of. Like, so
yes.
My son Sully, who was 19, making a lot of money for a 19-year-old, was, I think, thinking, okay, so he decided he wasn't going to go to college. And I'm like, okay, but this is not what you're going to do.
No, please, no.
This is not what
especially
you're
going to
do.
Especially when you get to our age. Yeah. I mean, you're not like really doing the physical labor, right?
As much as
bus boys and going up and down flights. So the beer's in the basement and the bar's upstairs. So you got a lot of flights.
That's
you have a lot of flights to bring a case of beer.
Or a keg, yeah.
Or a keg of beer. Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. But anyway, we kicked him out of the house and made him go away because...
Where'd he go? College?
No, he went to New Hampshire and took a job with his cousin. So
nice.
He's doing very well. But the point is, you can't get too comfortable.
It is comfortable.
It is comfortable.
And it's fast cash. You know, it's just easy, easy money. I was stuck in that grind, but my body was telling me get out. And I got to the point where I was just like, oh God, I can't say hi, how are you, one more time. You know, like it's exhausting after a while.
Yeah. I kind of like it. So I think that's why I'm still doing it, because I light up when I see those people come
aww,
in.
That's nice.
Even you.
Speaking of light up, so back in my day, of the Cajun Queen. We had the beer box, right? Where after the shift, you put the dollar in the beer box and grab a beer. And back in those days, you would drink a Heineken pretty damn fast. Yeah. I mean, like 10 seconds fast. After a long Saturday night, you would just guzzle the Heineken.
Back in those days, I wouldn't even allow you to do a checkout unless you brought me a Heineken.
I remember.
And there were eight servers.
I remember that. So eight beers. There you go. Yeah. And then what happened?
Then I had some issues. I knew I was an alcoholic long before any of that. Even before I started at the Cajun Queen, I knew that I was having some problems. If we're going to jump right into the alcohol.
Yeah, let's go.
But it's okay because I was going to stop drinking when I got married at 30.
That's what you told yourself or told your wife?
I did. I told myself that. I don't think I told her that. I didn't want her to hold me accountable for that. That would have been too...
That's a real commitment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I was going to stop when I got married. But I was... I did get married sober for the morning, but as soon as we said the vows, I had a beer. But that's okay because I was going to stop when I had a first kid. So.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So at 32, I remember Audrey being born and Corrine was struggling. And I was in the room watching my daughter be born and thinking, when can I get out of here and get a drink?
Mm.
And then I knew that this was going to mess with some very important stuff in my life. But I still didn't stop, of course. I didn't want to overreact.
I was going to say, a real alcoholic would have brought a flask in the hospital and sipped. Just kidding. So,
I got out there.
Edit that out.
fast forward, I was going to stop when Sully was born. That didn't work. But eventually, it affected my family to the point where the relationship between me and my wife was deteriorating to a point where I had to stop. And she didn't want to do it anymore. And she had this idea that we were going to separate for a little while. And her idea of separating is she wanted to separate her stuff from mine, her stuff on the inside of the house and my stuff on the outside
of the
house.
Makes sense. Yeah. So bye-bye.
So bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Tim.
So that was about a month. And if I could backtrack for a second, I had tried to stop drinking and I was dry, meaning I hadn't had a drink in a year, but I wasn't going to Alcoholics Anonymous or getting any help in any other way. I was just a dry drunk is what they call it.
Meaning like you could relapse at any time? Is that what you mean?
Meaning I was miserable and I wanted to drink desperately. I just didn't.
But you weren't getting to the bottom of the...
I was white knuckling it and I wasn't getting any relief.
Got it.
And a year in is when we had our problems and your friend Howie Winter came to me and he said, how's it going? And I said, oh, not good. My wife just kicked me out of the house. He goes, have you tried Alcoholics Anonymous? I said, I haven't had a drink in a year.
Like, I don't need it.
I don't need it. And he said, how's that working out for you? Not good. So next day, I won't say I went to a meeting, but I definitely saw where they were. I did a drive-by, make sure I knew where I could park, wanted to see those kind of people in there, make sure that that was for me. But eventually I had the guts to go in and, it changed my life for sure.
And that really sparked like your belief in God and stuff like that, right? Or fostered.
Well, it fostered my belief in a higher power.
Got it.
I have a strong belief that love, kindness, and compassion is my higher power.
So is that what you sort of use as a tool when you're super stressed out and busy at the Cajun Queen?
Oh, yeah. They give me lots of tools to use.
What's your biggest tool? To get through a rough, challenging day.
This too shall pass.
I love that. Everything's temporary.
Everything's temporary.
Everything. That is the hardest thing to grasp, though.
In the very beginning of being in the program, the best tool for me was play the tape out. Like, okay, my disease wants to tell me to have one drink. I can be smart enough to play that tape out to, okay, one drink leads to 10 drinks, leads to, you know, we only stopped when we ran out or passed out. Mm-hmm. And God forbid we ran out because we were running to the store. True
right?
story. But with all of my insecurities growing up and all of the feelings that I knew that I had for a long time. I think the biggest tool that I use is you wouldn't care so much about what people think of you if you knew how little they did.
Mm. And that's from the program? Is that from the...
Well, that's where I heard it. I'm sure it's all over, but...
That's so true.
Yeah. Everyone's thinking about themselves. When I walk into a room and I'm, you know, that guy's better looking than me and that guy's smarter than me and that guy's got more money than me, I think, you know what? That guy's just thinking about himself.
It's like when you look at a group photo, I always look at myself first. I'm like, oh that's a good one. And then my friend's eyes are crossed. And
oh, my God.
I wasn't even looking at you, honey. I was making sure I looked good.
Karine, my wife had a family reunion, and they wanted to surprise the guest of honor. So one sister from Albany, her aunt came down, and they said, okay, we're going to set it up. You can put everybody in the window, and this girl's going to pop up from outside in the window. We're going to take a picture. And she's going to just be in the picture. So we did it perfectly. The girl pops up perfectly in the picture. I show the picture around. Everybody's like, oh, I look awful. Oh, look at me. Nobody even noticed the girl was in the background.
So true, though. We're all sort of self-absorbed, don't you think?
I do indeed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how is your staff right now? Is everybody happy? Would you say that your staff's happy, like your servers and bartenders?
I would say... Yeah, mm-hmm. I do think. I mean, we have a younger crowd right now. Mm-hmm. We kind of turn over as the kids go back to college. But yeah, I think they are. I think the family atmosphere catches on. And what do you think the staff was like when you were there?
Well, I met a boyfriend there. My girlfriend met her husband there. And then one day we were just kind of bored and we were like, do you want to break up with our boyfriends today? And so I broke up with my boyfriend and she broke up with hers. And that was not a healthy work environment the next day. But yes, no. And when I'm there, it feels like everybody is really happy. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's easy to be happy when everybody there is happy, right? The music mm-hmm. makes people happy. The
yes,
food makes
let's
people
get into
happy.
The music,
yeah,
shall
let's,
we?
Let's get into the
okay.
music.
Okay. So it's jazz, and certain nights have different sort of vibes than
feels,
others,
yeah.
right? Like some are more genuine old school jazz, some are more, like you said, Dixieland, poppy jazz. So there's live music every single night. What's the oldest musician?
So live music every single night for all 39 years minus COVID. It's
oh my
amazing.
Gosh. Amazing.
The oldest currently, they don't tell me their age, but I know that they are, you know, it's a little older crowd. They do it kind of after their careers. And mm-hmm. I say that we don't pay them much, but they would be doing it in each other's garages for free.
Right.
So they just want to be somewhere doing it.
And have fun.
Mm-hmm. But you remember Skinny Harris, who yep. played the banjo. The man carried his banjo up the stairs every night. I couldn't take it from him. He was 92 years old when he stopped working.
That is insane.
Bill Hanna was 90
years
old.
We've lost some. Rest in peace, Bill Hanna, Jim Lackey. I think about them often.
Yes.
Yeah, such great musicians. Lost too young.
But I started working with Bill Hanna and Gerard even before Cajun Queen, like 35 years ago.
Insane. And Bill Hanna's a legend here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. They have that Bill Hanna jazz jam. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. still going
and
on.
And Doug Henry was
Doug
part of
Henry,
that as well.
Doug Henry, yes. He's involved in like the
I
high
mean,
school.
I mean, when he plays saxophone, it is amazing. I go in sometimes for dinner on Sunday night just because that's his night and that's my night off.
That's what I tell people, a Sunday, Monday. That's my all-time favorite.
It's
well, back in the day
favorite.
When it was Jim Stack and Jim Lackey. I mean, oh my gosh.
Plus,
Jim
I'm
Stack.
Off those days, so a lot of people are attracted to those days.
All right. They have to hang out with you. Jim Stack is one of my all-time favorite human beings. I really want to get him on this show.
He's amazing.
How old is he? In
the
90s.
Yeah, I think he's 92, but he is like literally a rocket scientist. Like
best
worked
piano
for,
player.
They said he could play one song with one hand and another song with another hand. I just don't
yes.
know how you can keep all that.
And I kiss him on the lips. And we say, if only you were 50 years younger or I was 50 years older, we would be together. He's my soulmate, my music soulmate.
Well, when Jim Stack, Jim Lackey, and Doug Henry played, you know, the saxophone, I would go in on Sunday with my little ones at the time and I'd say, can you play, you know, my favorite things from Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Take Five was they just gave me the chills. I have like the chills we're talking about music. Take Five, with Jim Stack was the best.
And Skinny upstairs, 92 mm-hmm. years old, would stand up and just clap and the whole room would just erupt and start clapping in rhythm with them.
And for anybody out there watching that's never been, I think you do a really a good job at not making the music overpower. You can still have a conversation when you're in that room, and you can also go downstairs where there is no music, but you can still sort of hear it. So I think it's, and sitting at the bar is my favorite, because you can sit at the bar and chitty chat and hear and see the music in the room just across the way, and that's my favorite place to be.
Well, I will say that it is the most requested room to sit in, and it is the most requested room to not sit in. So either you want it or you don't.
Right.
But yeah, people say, is the music going to be loud? Well, they play to the dining room, so you know they're there for you. Mm-hmm. They don't want to overpower you. But in the same sense, it's music. It's going to be a little loud.
And they take requests.
They take requests,
yeah.
And they take frequent long breaks because they're on the little older side. So we're kind of liberal with that.
They need their whiskey.
So we have plenty of time to visit up there as well. But yes, we offer the downstairs as well with no music.
Right. Because it's really just a preference for people.
It's just a preference. And if you take the music out and you just have the house, the food and the service, it's still magical. It's just that you can kind of hear that vibe upstairs. You know, the buzz is the buzz. It's just like you walk in and it's like a party.
It's an experience.
People
right?
are happy.
Yeah, it's an experience. I feel like the energy of people sitting at the bars, it almost feels like you're on vacation. You know, it's like a specialty
sort of place. People, you know, we look down the reservations and it's anniversary, birthday. So it's a special occasion place for a lot of people, which, you know, it's, again, going back to multi-generational, I've seen people for years and years and years, and then they come to me and like, we have to have our rehearsal dinner here. We have to have my son's blah, blah, blah.
Should I have my rehearsal dinner at the Cajun Queen when I get married?
If ever you do get married.
Time is ticking. Someday it will happen.
Yes, I strongly recommend it. No, it's just, you know, we have been a part of so many things, of so many people's lives. It's a privilege for me and an honor, and I don't take that lightly.
Well, it's the culinary and the music scene, right? You have people that can come up that knew or know somebody in the band, and they step in and they're playing, right? Or who's the guy that sings? He's like the old news anchor.
Oh.
A retired news anchor. He comes up and just like brings his microphone.
Is Dr. Collins playing tonight? He's not scheduled, but sometimes he sits in. I can't really speak for him, but
was he a news anchor or a doctor? He's a doctor.
He's a doctor, but he comes in with Mr. Walker, who was a news anchor.
Okay. Yeah. And then so it's like, I feel like it's supporting the music scene in Charlotte, because like, how was the jazz scene in Charlotte? Like, I don't really know other than, what's that jazz bar uptown? I can't.
Jonathan's back.
No, Mr. Roy wants to take me there. I can't think of the name.
Sure he does.
Yeah, there's one jazz bar uptown. I'm sure y'all know if you're from Charlotte.
But the other day we had like a high school kid sitting at the bar, and he's like, "They told me I could sit in with them," and he had his little guitar, and I'm like, "Okay, let me go talk to him," and they're like, "Sure," you know, and it was a big deal for this kid, and he was awesome. But so they foster that, and it's just wonderful to see. And of course, you know, like you said, that some of them are music teachers, and Bill Hanna and Doug Henry taught forever. And
yeah, and they can do, I feel like sometimes they do typical like American songs, but in a jazz way, which is cool too, you know.
For sure.
Like just
Absolutely.
Regular songs. So if you're not a fan of jazz, it's still really cool to be a part of.
Yes, I'm very fortunate.
You are. Yes.
But still hard work.
Still hard working. You and all those musicians, you're working hard.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing about that is my kids being there, they'll call me on that. They're like, "Dad, you didn't really do anything tonight."
Because you're like, just hanging out, walking around?
Yeah. Sitting down, having, you know, sometimes I'll have dinner with somebody.
I feel like back in my day, it seemed a little more stressful when I worked there.
Yeah.
Were we busier back then?
I don't think, no, we weren't.
Maybe
busier.
You were younger and had more rage.
Perhaps. You knew me in my drinking days, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. Yes. And all your talks in the back about, "We won't talk about politics."
Exactly. We will not.
Fighting with all the servers about politics.
Still goes on.
You definitely have your points of view.
Yes.
Which we're all allowed.
Loving, kind, and compassionate.
Yes, that's it. All the time. All day, every day.
That's what I'm trying.
So, are you going to retire? Like, is this it? Is this your life?
You know, I don't. Yeah, I'm going to retire someday. I don't know what will happen at the end. I don't know. I have two partners, obviously, Robbie and Billy, and both of them are getting a little bit older. And Billy's the chef, been there since day one.
Is he still there? Like
still there, still makes the etouffee and the time to make the donuts. And he just.
Oh, gee. But he has like an art passion too, right?
He does, but that's aside.
That kind of feeds him a little bit. Yeah. Pun intended. It feeds him. I'm hired.
So he makes sure that the menu is consistent over the course of the 39 years.
And it always is. It always is. The etouffee, whatever I get, I always get just a side of etouffee. It's like my ranch dressing of New Orleans, because I always get a side of ranch with everything I eat with American food. But the etouffee, it always tastes the same.
You know, Jennifer, the other day I walked into the kitchen, Billy was in there with Luis and a few other guys, and I said, this kitchen right now, there's 100 years worth of kitchen experience.
That's insane.
At the Cajun Queen. Not kitchen experience in general. There's 100 years of Cajun Queen kitchen experience right now.
You're giving me the chills, Tim. Not to mention that you also see the generations in the back, right? With Luis and Raziel, right? So Luis is the dad. Then Raziel comes in. He's in the dishwasher.
And now his 18-year-old son now makes Caesar salads on Saturday. So
oh my God. So Luis's grandson also works at the Cajun Queen.
Correct.
Wow. That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So the barbecue shrimp is amazing.
So when I first went there, before I even worked there 30 some odd years ago, I remember having the barbecue shrimp, the crawfish scampi, and the Cajun fried rice. We had six top at the round table, 48.
48 upstairs.
Never forget it. And it was something, it was just taste that I had never had before. I was from New York and never been to New Orleans, and it was just amazing.
So let's sort of quickly go into why, like what the heritage is, like the history on why the New Orleans.
So my partner Rob's dad started it, and he had a partner at the time, Pat Frida Rita.
Oh, Frida Rita.
Who had a desire really to just, it was a theme. It was the house kind of fit perfectly with mm-hmm. it. They wanted live music, and that was kind of the theme. And then Howie, who was our partner for the first 20 years with Billy and Robbie, had just went to school at Johnson & Wales in Rhode Island. And, you know, Paul Perdone was kind of a big deal back then in the mid 80s, doing Black and this and Black and that. And it was kind of a big influence, I think, on Howie and his menu. I mean, Billy keeps it consistent, but Howie's kind of responsible for the genius of the menu.
Mm, so
no
good.
Offense to the other two.
Go, Howie.
I mean, just simple and good.
Simple and good.
He told me there's only two ways to make food taste good. Do you know what they are?
No.
Spice and fat.
I don't disagree,
and
unfortunately.
And we use a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. And I love to see how the house has grown, the renovations that have happened throughout the years. It's gotten bigger and bigger. More patio is the patio on top, the little porch that's glassed in now.
Yeah,
the Cajun Queen is growing.
The rooftop patio overlooking the oldest park in Charlotte.
Oldest park in Charlotte.
It's
speaking
beautiful.
Of old, we're both old. But also, we will be right back. We're going to take a short break. Welcome back to We Talk Raw. I am here with Cajun Queen's managing partner, Mr. Tim Freer. And I would like to close with a game. Do you want to play a game?
Oh, please.
I play this with my son. It's called Death Row Meal. So you need to, using the Cajun Queen menu.
Okay.
You are on death row. So please let us know why you're on death row. What did you do? Then you're going to choose one appetizer, one entree, one side, one dessert, and one drink, which can be a full bottle. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so why are you on death row? What'd you do?
I was wrongly convicted.
Of what?
Murder.
Oh, but you're innocent.
Of course.
Of course you are. You can do no wrong. And
it
your appetite.
It was a misunderstanding.
You're very, it wasn't my fault. So your very last appetizer on earth in this human body?
Barbecue shrimp.
With that's bread. You can have bread on death row. Because you have to have bread.
It's part
dip.
Of it, yeah.
And the barbecue shrimp's considered medium spice, correct?
It's on the upper end. I would say crawfish scampi is the medium spice.
Also, if you have a date later that night, maybe don't go to the Cajun Queen, because I smell like garlic for days after
garlic,
I eat the barbecue.
Garlic, butter, and scallions are definitely an important part of
but
what
it's
we
worth
do.
It. Okay, so barbecue shrimp, 6-piece or 12? 12.
Of course.
Yeah. And you have one entree and one side. Shoot.
The entree is going to be salmon topped with crawfish, artichoke hearts, white wine, lemon garlic. That's the topping that we use.
Surprised you wouldn't do the cream sauce. It's your last day on earth.
Gross for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like the light.
So typically you get to choose one white wine butter sauce or one cream sauce, which can be Dijon cream, Romano cream,
yeah,
right?
Sure, sure. Yeah. But then we serve it with mashed potatoes and it's too heavy for me.
Mm, so the white wine butter sauce comes with
really
rice.
Selling our menu, aren't I?
I know by heart. And just for anybody watching, you don't have to get a blackened, but you can.
Yeah, grilled is just
another
great
chance to do spicy or not.
Side would definitely be crawfish etouffee.
Oh, God, so good.
And then dessert?
Dessert.
It's got to be the Oreo cookie cheesecake.
Oh, caca. It's got to be. I'll choose the pecan pie. Okay, you can have
so
it.
So there's only two things that we do not make every single day at the Cajun Queen.
I know what they are.
Please tell me.
The first one is key lime pie.
That's correct.
Give me a hint on the second one.
It's part of the New Orleans barbecue shrimp meal.
Fried something.
No, the bread. We get it delivered fresh every day from the bakery.
I failed. Is the bread still from Nova's bakery?
Well, it's from Amelie's now because they took over Nova's.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. So dessert, Oreo, cookie cheesecake.
Yes.
And then you get one drink, which can be a bottle. You're dying. So if you want to have a relapse,
no,
do it.
I don't ever want to have a relapse because if I only had one day to live, I'd like to be present in that day as well.
Oh, I love that.
So I'd pick coffee. I'd have a coffee.
A coffee. So then when you transition to wherever we go after we die, you're going to be present.
And be ready.
That's a wise. You know what? If I ever see Taylor Swift, I don't think I'm going to have champagne before because I want to be present when I see her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Sometimes
what you mean.
A couple glasses of champagne and I don't want to forget the songs that she plays. So last my two cents.
I've been to Billy Joel concerts both ways, and I can guarantee you it's better sober.
Exactly, because you can remember everything they do. You remember it the next day.
Plus, you're not in line in the bathroom the whole time.
Right.
Well.
Breaking the seal. Okay, so our closing conversation topic question. So for anybody out there watching that's in the industry, this grueling industry, what sort of advice would you give them to maintain longevity, maintain their mental state, their physical state in the industry?
Well, first of all, I think you have to love people. And you know that about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I would suggest you don't take yourself too seriously. You know, we make a lot of dinners and they are well received and they taste excellent. But it's not, you know, we're not trying to make a Picasso every single time that the meal goes out. We're there to make people feel good, taste good food, and have fun, you know? But the most important thing for a restaurateur really is if you want a restaurant, it has to be something. Well, the best thing to do is to own the real estate.
To own the actual building.
Yes, because they'll just keep. We own 1800 East 7th Street, so that has kept us in business. Otherwise, somebody would have just raised the rate.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah, Michael Keaton said in The Founder about McDonald's, he said, we thought we were in the restaurant business, but we found out we were in the real estate business. Mm.
So how much do you make? I'm just kidding.
We're just all there for a little paycheck. We're just hoping the building sells someday. That's about it.
Oh, right. So is that sort of what you're, like, what
exit
a tip
strategy
would be? Yeah, so to own the building and then you can sell it or sell the business.
Or at least
sell
it
the
back
building
to yourself or whatever. You have to. I mean, most successful restaurants do. Not everybody can afford that right off the bat, but as soon as you can, try to own the real estate.
Would you recommend that your children do what you do? I know you sort of touched on it earlier.
My daughter just graduated with a master's in social work. And she wants to work with young people with addiction.
That's kind of like a bartender.
Yeah, exactly. Old people with addiction. So she plans on, you know, making no money for a long time. And she said, Dad, it's about the outcome, not the income.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard that. I like it.
So she is set, and Sully's, I'm trying to keep as far away from this business as possible. So
it's grueling.
It's grueling.
But for anybody watching, come to the Cajun Queen, open 7 nights a week, live music, get the death row meal, and let your server know that you're ordering the death row meal, and you'll receive 20% off.
You will indeed.
All right. Tim Freer, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody, thanks for viewing.
Thanks, Jennifer.
And that's a wrap with Retalk Raw.
Always remember, with you, we are. Our Beats podcasting crew wants to take this moment to thank you for listening to Our Beats Radio and Media Streaming Network.